What's going on, everybody? It is the newest episode of the Bernie Talk Soccer Show. Hello, everybody. What is going on? It's the latest episode of the Bernie Talk Soccer Show. Whenever, wherever you are listening to right now, thank you for tuning in once again to listen to all that I have to say. So, of course, what do we have going on? It is the Champions League, and it is fully in effect at the moment. There are games going on. Who's going to be in the semifinal? But before I get to that, before I get to the talk of the game, can I just start off by saying I have to think that the CBS guys that are doing the commentary, you know, in studio, Henri, Carragher, and Richards are quite possibly the worst ever trio on TV to commentate about a game. I mean, you listen to them. The arrogance that oozes out of them, and for what, I have no idea. I mean, let's just talk about what they went into yesterday. So the three of them, if everybody knows, one played for Arsenal, one City, and one Liverpool. All right, so now Henri, the Pied Piper, who, by the way, is an utter disgrace. If anybody knows what happened in a playoff for an international tournament between Ireland and France, where he quite blatantly handled the ball to score a goal. And look, if anybody was in that situation, see, this is where people get wrong with what I'm about to, what I normally say here is, you know, if you're in that situation, of course you're going to try to do that any which way to get your country to win a game. That's fine. But to run off and celebrate like that just jerk did, that's what I had an issue with, the way he celebrated. Because if you know you cheated, it's okay. You can kind of get away with it, but don't just throw it in everybody's face thinking that nobody knew you did it, all right? So he's on this tear now going, you know, Arsenal are in the Champions League next year. Is City? No, yes, they are. Is Liverpool? Yes, they are. Manchester United. Now, for a guy like Henri to bring up Manchester United the way he did just shows you the size of United and the size of his little mind. Because let's just look at his career. Was he a good player? Of course. I'm not going to disparage him as a player, you know. However, if we break down his career, he never once scored in a final of any sort, all right? So that's one, okay? Now, people always throw things at, you know, Ronaldo and Messi before he won, you know, that they didn't do this, they didn't do that. Well, Henri never contributed, basically, in a final at all. Now, for all his love affair with Arsenal on air right now because of how well they're doing, why did he leave Arsenal? I'm very curious to know why did he leave then? Because if he loved them so much and they're so good, why did he leave? And he went to Barcelona. Yeah, he won a Champions League there, but let's just be honest. Anybody could have been the center. And he didn't really contribute that much when he was there. He was kind of like a also-ran. He never really did much, right? He did, to be honest with you, he never really fit in. You know, so for all the English telling me how great he was and all this, you know, let's just really look for what it is. And then let's get to the other two stooges on the panel. Jamie Carragher. Jamie Carragher, you know, to me is more known for spitting at a father and daughter on social media because he was angry at what they were saying to him in a car than he is for anything he ever did in his playing career. You know, he never won a league, never even got close to winning a league. Yeah, he won a Champions League, that fluke of a Champions League. And now look, I'm not going to take anything away from it. A win is a win. But, you know, let's look at it for what it is. And then Richards, Micah Richards. Let's just look at this guy. This guy, with the help of the media, the social justice warriors, has basically rewritten his entire career. Now, according to the English media, he was an England superstar. He, played for City, which meanwhile, City were not what were they. They had as corrupt owners when he was there, just not as flagrantly, just like flaunting how corrupt they were. Then he was at Fiorentina, wasn't he? I think he was at Villa, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I didn't even know. Like, but this is the what you're getting when you tune in to the Champions League. You know, and then the crazy thing is, if this was free TV, that'd be one thing. But I'm literally paying to listen to morons. You know, and again, I don't think I'd ask these guys for directions. So what am I going to take anything they have to say about Champions League, right? So yesterday, you know, of course, Henry is going to talk about Mbappe. And it's funny that he doesn't hype up Barcelona as much, even though that's the only place where he had any sort of European success. Funny. And then now, because they make fun of, United will be playing on Thursdays. Excuse me, Carragher, Jamie. Where is Liverpool playing right now? What are they claiming to be winning a treble from? Of course, that's over. So I find it funny how they are so simple-minded that they can't even realize the stuff that they're making fun of are actually things that their clubs are involved in. Go figure. But you had PSG Barcelona. Now, this was a game between one team that is basically manufacturing history with another team that is basically selling away their future. You have PSG, who, with Mbappe there, for now anyway, has never really accomplished what everybody thinks that they are. They've never succeeded at all in Europe. You know, Mbappe, in my opinion, is the new Henry. You know, a lot of hype, but not a lot of, you know, contributing in these big games. Then on the other side, you have Barcelona. Barcelona has sold away every right that they have to basically anything that they can possibly do anymore. Image rights, TV rights. I think they sold their stadium rights to like Pizza Hut or something like that. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, I probably am, but whatever. And you have Xavi, who's leaving. You have Enrique, who used to be there. So this game was a game that I didn't have a ton of interest in because I really don't like either team. However, it turned out that this was almost like the death rattle to Barcelona. You know, Barcelona, for the last few years, has been able to kind of maneuver themselves around the little issues that they had. You know, well, little is an understatement. The money situations that they had. You got Barcelona, who bank on winning things in order to continue this kind of money maneuvering scheme that they're in for, even though the president's saying, everything's okay, nothing's to see here. And PSG, I'm going to be very curious to see what happens if Mbappe leaves and what's going to happen with them. But the game itself, you know, Barcelona basically folded. You had one of their players get sent off. Xavi gets sent off. You know, I know Mbappe got two. The one was so fortunate. I mean, I don't even, the ball was just kind of ricocheting, you know, ping-ponging around and ended up back at him who originally took the shot. And he scored, so 4-1, and then you had, 6-4 on aggregate. So it's setting up a interesting semifinal. Because now, you know, just like they want to kind of make sure things are all set up they want with the way they want, no, there can't be no detours at all. So you got PSG in the semifinal, and I know they've been there before, but they've never really, you know, taken that step to win the whole thing. And it'll be interesting because on the other one, you had Dortmund and Atletico. Now, this game to me was interesting because you got two teams, right, who are successful, but they don't. Dortmund did like a couple of times. I know way back when against United in like 97, they won. But they don't have like a track record in the Champions League. And Atletico, they've been there, but they never can get over that hump. But Dortmund followed through. They win. They've gone through on aggregate. And the media, instead of hyping up Dortmund's win, right? You want to put all the highlight on Dortmund. These guys are so just pathetic, right? I compare them a lot to the American news media, right? They have their favorites, and the one they want to tear down, they won't stop, no matter how petty, how stupid, how incorrect they are, right? So the whole narrative on the highlights were Sancho proves he can do it. He's in Champions League semifinal. I'm like, you guys are so dumb. Because in the little article before, you wrote that Dortmund don't want to keep him because of he hasn't really contributed that much. So I'm like, okay, what? But wait, there is more. Not only do they do that, at least Sancho is contracted to United. They pull one out of their backside with Sabitzer. Do you remember him? Yeah, he played the Austrian that played a little bit. What was it like? He was a six-month loan for United last season, which, to be honest with you, I kind of liked him. I thought he would have been decent if he wanted to stay. I guess maybe it was like the expense. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was Ten Hag. He didn't play for him at Ajax. I don't know. But he scores, and they say ex-United superstar scores goal. I'm just like, I have to go on vacation because these idiots cannot help themselves. I mean, if it wasn't that it was so much in your face, you would be like, ah, who cares? These guys are just talking to themselves. But I feel bad for the casual fan who has to listen to these morons fabricate facts. Because Sabitzer was there for like 6 months, and he was okay. I liked him, but he was okay. But to put the tag of United superstar, everything is about the, you know, if you can dig into United, the better. Again, I compare this to a lot like the media and politics in America. They want to make sure United gets stomped down and can't come back up. And they don't want, like, them to have new fans. I think these guys are like, let's just get rid of these guys and be done with it. Because you got these nerdy hipsters that are involved in all of, like, the Premier League, Champions League promotion. So you're set up with a PSG and Dortmund semifinal, which is interesting because, you know, if you look at it, those two teams aren't like the traditional teams you see in a final. So it will be interesting seeing on the other side of the semifinal who comes out of there, because you're going to have a team that has not a huge history in the Champions League. Well, I mean, most, like, neither does City or Arsenal, but that's another story. But now, on the Atletico side, Simeone, to me, has run his course at Madrid, Atletico Madrid. Not to say he's not a good manager, because everybody knows what I've been saying. I don't like him, all the history that he has with, like, Beckham and United, and he's the Argentinian team. It's like a ton. However, he is a butt kicker, and that's what United need. But You know, sometimes you stay at a place, and he stayed there a long time. He stayed there way longer than most managers at clubs do nowadays. You're not going to get these guys sticking around 15, 20 years like Ferguson did or Wenger, right? They're going to be, you know, there 5, 6, 7, you know, 10 maybe years, and then they'll be gone. Unless you have an offshore bank account like whoever the city manager is, then he'll just stay until they get rid of him. But I think Simeone has sort of hit a ceiling on what he could do at Atletico. Because, again, he gets paid very well, but they're not, as big as Atletico are, they're not going to compete with the, you know, the money side of with the Uniteds and the Madrids. And, you know, if you're a money laundering team like City, you know, teams like that. So maybe it will be for time for him to go. And again, United will be looking for a new manager. And if you want to think outside the box, unlike the managers that you've gotten in the past, I think he may be, I don't know, he could be a possibility. I'm just saying this. I think the English media would be like, oh my God, how could they get somebody like that? He is so rough. And yeah, he's actually a dude that wants to like fight if he needs to. Oh my God, shocker. I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings. So you have that. Now today you have a couple of big games, okay? Two just historically famous Champions League teams in Munich and Madrid. Then you have two teams, one Arsenal, who doesn't have any really real history in Europe, and then another who just bought their way to history by lying, cheating, and money laundering in Manchester City. So you got all of that. With the City against Munich game, that's going to... City-Madrid game will be interesting. Okay, so it's tied right now. Now, everybody, you know, the English say, oh, they're going to get there and they're going to cook. City's going to cook. I'm like, okay. Everybody calm down for 1 second. We're not talking about some, like, third division Spanish team. We're talking about Madrid, who know how to win in Europe. We're talking about Ancelotti, who knows how to coach in Europe. Okay, let's just all calm down. For all the hype you give Guardiola in Europe, Ancelotti dwarfs him by 10 in Europe, okay? Let's look at the center forward, Haaland. He hasn't really done that much in Europe, okay? His father could talk all he wants, I know, because his father probably wants just another big payday. But he hasn't been a huge success in Europe. And then I love this, okay? So Jude Bellingham, you know, the English never really care about the continental teams, but now they have such an investment in, you know, Madrid with Bellingham, with Munich, with Kane. Well, with Bellingham, there's a whole article that's written and says why Jude Bellingham picked Madrid over Manchester City. Okay, I know the article that he probably got paid by the word, but you know, I probably wouldn't have made a ton of money off this article. But here's how I would have wrote it. Ready? So, title: why Bellingham picked Madrid over City. Bernie will tell you why. I see I added that just so I could get a couple more bucks off the per word. Madrid is a historic club. City are plastic. The end. Okay, there you go. That's the end of the article. And basically, that's the truth. Why the English have any... Like, why would they pick a team? Oh, that's because they have history. City have none. They have no history. They have no, like, you know, hey, look at what we've done throughout the years. Where are your, like, historic players? And I don't want to hear this, oh, look, they have a statue of Kompany and Aguero. That just goes to show you, okay? United have statues of Busby, Law, Charlton, Edward, or excuse me, Law, Charlton, and Best. You know, Madrid have DiStefano, Puskás. You know, again, through the years, I'm just going way back. So, do you know what those years are? They're like 50s and 60s where that all started. When you have to start your trophies from like 8 years ago, you're kind of fake. And I don't want to hear this. Well, they're building something. That's fine. You can build all you want. But do not try to compare the two. And the media, for trying to do this for City, make them look even tinier. So, you know, I expect Madrid to pull this off. Right? I know it'll be probably difficult because, you know, with all the, you know, fraudulent money that City scored. You like how I've been doing this whole show? That's gonna be my thing. Anytime City's brought up, it's all on with an asterisk. It's all for, but let me tell you why. So they spent a ton of fraudulent money. So they're gonna compete. But I think just Madrid being, you know, just that team that knows how to win, right? I think that they, you know, it doesn't hurt them the way goals, so that's fine. So I just think that it's going to be, you know, tight, maybe 2-1, 3-2. I think there'll be some more goals. I think the one thing that I'm expecting, because he does this every single time when it gets like crunch time and he gets a little panicky, I fully expect Guardiola to overthink things and like try to be too clever and do something out of the ordinary to show how smart he is and screw everything up. So if he does that, I will laugh. It'll be so funny, but I cannot wait to see the meltdown by the media when City get knocked out of this. And then it doesn't stop there. You have also Arsenal Munich. This is another one. Arsenal are literally a team that has never even like sniffed winning the Champions League. Like never. So I don't know where they are trying to like morph this into like that Arsenal should be favorites. Okay, if Munich just didn't do one or two kind of clumsy things in that last game, it would already be over. Munich, to me, is a team where I think they're right now, I don't know if they shouldn't have brought in Kane, or they're sort of, like, I don't know, like, they're a team, they've never had a Kane. Like, Lewandowski was a forward who came to them big, but he wasn't this Harry Kane who was, the team was built around him. So, like, Munich is always this, like, you know, like their cars. It's like everything about it is put together. It's never like one thing. It's never like, oh, the engine is great, but the body of the car falls apart. Everything is proper, right? So Kane has a lot to prove here, like, because he's starting to get the tag of he goes to teams and he never wins. Right, so you have that tag right now. And then with Arsenal, you know, Saka, Odegaard, all these guys are getting a lot of hype for doing not a lot. Right, so what will happen in this game? To me, I think Munich have this wrapped up. I think Arsenal have now hit a wall like they did last year. You know, I think that they really don't have the players on this team that have the guts. I was going to say something more, but family show. So they don't have the guts to take that next step to win. You know, you have a guy like Declan Rice for, let's just be honest. He, you know, West Ham is a good club. You know, I got some relatives that are huge West Ham fans, but they're not a team that's going to win, and they're never really in any position to win anything, so he's never been in that situation to win. Jesus, kind of a guy who City cast off. Havertz, I mean, what has he done? So you know, and then on the other side, you have guys who have been there, done that. Neuer, you know, all these guys on this team, they've been around a while. They've been around the block, and they've won a few things. Let's just be honest. And Arsenal and Arteta, you know, for all the – this is weird. This is a very weird thing. Like, Tuchel is gone at the end of the season. All the pressure that he has to win at Bayern Munich, Arteta is talked about like that, but there's no pressure on him to win anything, right? They don't – I have yet to hear anybody say, if he comes up short again this year, is his job gone, right? You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. It's a weird thing, but I fully expect, to me anyway, for Bayern Munich to come out of this. It's good. And then you got, then you're set up, is like I was saying, you're set up for two semifinals where, in my opinion, you're going to get one of these big teams, and I'm going with Munich and Madrid getting knocked out. So what a crazy semifinal, and then final it could be, right? Not to say PSG and Dortmund aren't big, but when you're talking about those other two teams, it's like no comparison. And then you'll have, what could you have, Mbappe, you know, maybe playing against his future employer. You know, you could have two German teams going up against one another. Oh, if that happened, the only reason that England would have any interest in a game like that, Munich Dortmund, would be because of Harry Kane on one side, and could they badger and just beat down United some more with Sancho and Sabitzer. And, you know, there can never go a day without the media having some sort of meltdown with United. So, you know, here's a big problem I have with soccer nowadays. You know, England used to make fun of America when it was so, you know, run by numbers and, you know, stats and, you know, anticipated this, anticipated that, you know, what could come out, the outcome. They're always like, why don't these Yanks, you know, play the game for once? Well, now these idiots have allowed these analytic, number-crunching, kind of weird, nerdy guys who have never, like, had any physical activity whatsoever kind of dominate their sport now. So the whole thing now is the supercomputer crunches numbers and XP and you know, anticipated this and goals and this, and it goes, if they really looked at it, United would be in the relegation zone. Chelsea should be deserving to be in a Champions League place. And, you know, if it wasn't for Tony, Brentford would be, if it wasn't for Tony, you know, suspended, which, by the way, the dude got suspended for gambling. It wasn't like he was suspended or he missed games because he was ill or injured. He did it to himself. So you don't feel bad for Brentford. You don't feel bad for Tony. And this is why these guys are so ridiculous. They couldn't wait to tell everybody, United, if we looked at the numbers and crunched them in, they would be in relegation zone. Well, I want to break something to you, to all you guys who sit in rooms in front of computers, are kind of pasty. This is why there's actual physical games. If we went how you did it, why even have athletes on the field anymore? Just take the guys and look at their, you know, physical abilities, and then just throw it into the computer. Play a video game, maybe. Let's see. Let's get two really good EA Sports video game players and just see what happens to a season. Because that's basically what you're turning it into. If we went by what you did, there would be literally no need for games. It's so insane, right? And then they said, oh, Arsenal would win. Oh, shocker. You know, the most hipster team of all the three of them that are going for the title right now. Oh, how am I not surprised? You know, so you got these guys making up these, like, kind of just weird thing. And then, but the other weird thing that they do is they morph feelings into it, too. So everybody already heard me say about, Brentford should be higher if it wasn't for Tony not playing. Well, guys, your feelings don't really matter when it comes to games. Your feelings that, oh, it's so sad that they didn't have their full squad, tough, right? It's not like the dude got injured. He got suspended for gambling. And then they go, oh, and Chelsea, with the way they played, if it wasn't for their misses. Well, I could say if it wasn't for United, for their manager, United would be up higher. Can we go by feelings that way? Because they seem to pick and choose when they allow their feelings to get in the way. You know, so they say, if it wasn't for Chelsea's misses, how high they could be. I'm like, uh-huh. But see, again, I'm sorry to break it to you. That's not how sports go. You actually have to finish. And for whatever you want to say, and as weird as it is that United are where they are, for the amount of shots that they give up and the amount of lack of goals, you know, they're there. Does that say that United are lucky? They take their chances when they get them? Or, oh my God, I know this is going to hurt a lot of these guys who tell me England is the most exciting and competitive league in the world. Maybe the league is not that good. Oh, I know. It kills you guys. I get it. And I love the English League. Like, see, this is the thing. I have always been a fan of the English League. I had arguments over years that how England was better than Italy and Spain and all this. But I can honestly say right now, this is probably the poorest league that England has ever had. It's so piss poor. There's so many just, like, lackluster players. Teams that are just so bad, right? Like, if you... Let me break it to you this way. Look at where 40 points is right now in the league, right, when it finishes. It'll probably be about, what, 12, 14, maybe 15. Let's say 15. You, in the past, say 10, 15 years ago, you were like, if you get 40 points, you're not going to be in the relegation zone. There's teams now getting out of the relegation zone with like 20-something points. I know maybe I'm lowballing a little bit. Say 30. 30 points. Like, a 10-point difference is huge. So, you know, for all of your analytics, for all of your number crunching, for all of the XP and all these other words, everybody's making up now. There's so many different new made-up things. It's exciting every day. Not really, but it comes down to you can't talk somebody into seeing something that they're not. Okay? So where everybody finishes, it's not like you're going through like a quick playoff. This is an entire season, August to May. Where you end up is where you deserve to end up. Let's just be honest. Okay? So we shall see where this all finishes. But the computer people and the XPs and the this and that can just take a rest. And you don't have to sell me because I'm not buying. And then finally, let's just say, that's right, big round of applause to Portsmouth, who have been promoted. Congratulations to Portsmouth. The town is probably going crazy right now. They've promoted to the championship. What an exciting time. That town, that team deserves it. The Eisners have come in and rejuvenated the club after all these... No pun intended, Mickey Mouse former owners. Yeah, they fully deserve it. The club, the town. I mean, if you ever go down there, when I was in a taxi cab down there, like, the taxi cab drivers know the ins and outs of that club. They it's such an awesome place. The stadium, everything about it is like screams like what you expect like an English like club town to be like. So congratulations to them. It's going to be exciting for them next year. So look forward to seeing what they can do going into the new season. So on that note, guys, thank you so much for listening to my show. Love bringing it to you guys. So enjoy the Champions League. And before then, get out there into this fun, amazing world. Talk to some friends and family. Enjoy the day with them. So until next time, this was the Bernie Talk Soccer Show.